A white man? No!
Hello and welcome to The NSUB is a White Man. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Emily.
And we're back with a fantastic episode of Criminal Minds.
I'm so glad that I didn't remember this until like the second it started.
Yeah.
And then I was just so happy.
Yeah. I feel like it's been a while since there's been one that I'm like, I don't remember this. And as soon as it starts, I'm like, oh my God, I remember this, which is what this was for both of us. But also,
they really buried the lead in the description.
Yes, they really do.
I was like, this description means nothing. And then as soon as it started, I was like, oh, the title.
Yeah.
It's all in the title.
The title actually means something this time. It's not just esoteric nonsense.
Yeah.
But it's also, I feel like we're like getting back to our roots as far as Criminal Minds. Like this is a classic Criminal Minds episode where it's not like totally completely over the top, but the premise
just
is just
enough.
A little bit ridiculous. Yeah. Just enough to get like the hook and
Yeah.
We are talking about 52 Pickup.
Yes.
Which originally aired November 26th, 2008.
Yes.
It's a lot to take in right off the get-go.
I know.
An assault of the senses.
I know. I feel like I should apologize in advance for my voice because it was just completely gone 3 days ago. But I am so excited to talk about this episode that you're just going to have to listen to me talk like this.
It's like you were out at one of these clubs in the opening scene.
Yeah, I was not. Yeah, so we open on a club in Atlanta. Looks just terrible.
It's just everything about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the music that's playing, the club itself, the music videos on the many TVs inside this club.
Yeah, that are all playing different videos. But like the same song is playing.
Yeah, and it's a nonsense song because I was watching this with the subtitles on and it is like listening to a stroke victim talk.
Oh, wow.
The lyrics make no sense.
I don't think I had turned them on yet at this point. But yeah, there's two blonde girls. They're hanging out, looking to meet guys.
Did you recognize them?
Not the younger one, but the one girl is the girl from Garfunkel and Oates.
Yeah, Ricky Lindholm.
Yes.
And she's
in Wednesday, which is really good. Have you watched that yet?
No, I haven't watched that yet.
It's good.
She was also on Gilmore Girls.
I did not recognize her from that.
This pair of actresses is like quintessential early 2000s.
Who's the other one?
She was in Drive Me Crazy, the Melissa Joan Hart.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm familiar.
I figured you were. She was D-Vine, the one who was like nerdy, but then she's the popular girl makeover.
Okay.
And she's in a bunch of those like early 2000s kinds of things. But that's, you know.
Yeah.
Drive Me Crazy is her star-making role.
Nice. Yeah, so then a guy in a stupid hat, and then as soon as he came up, I was like, yep, I know which one this is. Shows up and he like whispers to one of them, the Ricky Lindholm one.
Mm-hmm.
Then we find out that she is the BAU's newest case.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all I wrote in this moment where he meets them was this man's hat, which is all you need to know. And then you're like, I remember this episode.
Yeah. Yep.
The hat'll do it.
Yep. Yeah, we find out that she was disemboweled. Luckily, that Rita's there to explain what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So, in case you were unfamiliar.
Yeah, no one on the BAU is familiar with that.
Yeah, they've never seen a disemboweled person before. Yeah, he's like, it's when your insides actually come
on
out
the outside
of your body. Thanks, Reed. But then he says, like, that you can live for a few hours that way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, remaining conscious?
Not while they just like spill out on the floor, right?
Right. I don't know.
I'm not Googling it.
I don't know.
But he says yes, and apparently that's what happens in this case.
Mm-hmm. I also didn't want to look it up.
Yeah.
So yeah, he also made her clean up her own blood.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty unsuccessfully, it looks like, from the crime scene photos.
Well, I mean, if you're disemboweled and your insides are just hanging onto the floor while you're down on your
hands. You're just making more of a mess.
Yeah. It just
seems like a real futile effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very sadistic, though. 4 hours is a long
time. Oh, my God.
Time.
I can't imagine staying alive that long.
Yeah.
I feel like I would scrub the floor for like 2 minutes and then I'd be like, I'm dead.
Just kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to die here. So anyway, Jordan has also found two other murders from a year ago that have exactly the same horrific MO, mm-hmm. except both of those women were prostitutes who were found in motel rooms. Mm-hmm. And then Prentice is like, we might be looking at a sexual sadist. You're like, do you think?
When Ricky Lindholm she's some kind of socialite. So this is huge.
She's like from a prominent Atlanta family. Yes. And he's like, do they have those? The Real Housewives, I guess. The first quote is, author Harlan Ellison wrote, "The minute people fall in love, they become liars."
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the team discusses the change in victimology on the jet. There are two high-risk victims, a year-long hiatus, and then murdering a socialite seems like a pretty strange progression to them. Mm-hmm. They wonder how this unsub could have gone from being loser of the year to Don Juan.
Thanks, Rossi.
Thanks. Like, Rossi's the only person that would reference Don Juan.
Yeah. And well, I guess, I don't know, there's like this weird implication that anyone who's ever seen a sex worker is unable to relate to another human being in any way, which is such a strange assumption to me.
Yeah. Sorry. That is so weird to me too, because like he could have just been going after easy victims.
Right. Like he's practicing with
people who aren't going, the murder's not going to be investigated that closely.
I can't decide if I want to say high risk or low risk. Like it's a high risk profession, so it's a low risk person to try to kill.
Yeah.
Because they disappear all the time.
The women are in a high risk situation, yes. But it is low risk for the unsub.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's very confusing the way that they word it.
Yes. And so it doesn't seem that strange to me that someone would go out, practice on a few sex workers, and then take some time to get themselves together.
Right.
Presumably, one of those last ones didn't go well, and they take some time to pull themselves together and get better at it,
yeah.
And then hit someone more high priority.
Yeah.
It seems very strange.
Yeah, like once you're confident enough in your MO and in what you're doing and like covering your ass,
right.
Then you would move on to somebody who's going to be whose murder is going to be investigated.
Right. And it doesn't matter because that would be a more personal hit.
Yeah.
None of this occurs to anyone on the BAU though.
No.
They're mystified.
No. They're like, this is bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, like any other time, any other episode, you would have just been like, he was practicing.
Yeah. No, but they're actually, I think it's Rossi says that they are going to have to come up with two profiles because the victimologies are so different.
Yeah, he says that later. It's weird.
Like, what?
Anyway, Reed starts to explain their fundamental misunderstanding of Don Juan as a character, but very quickly realizes that absolutely nobody gives a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan suggests that maybe the unsub knew Vanessa and had some grudge against her, and the team dismisses this because sexual sadists don't target people they know because it's easier to dehumanize their victims. You're like, I guess that would depend on the level of sadist that you are.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
I don't know. But yeah, then they decide that's when he makes the comment about how they need to build two profiles for one unsub. You're like,
no, you don't.
Sure. Okay.
Even one seems like enough of a waste of time.
Yeah. At the Atlanta Police Department, Todd, Morgan, Hotch, and Reed meet with the detective, and he says that there is no DNA on the unsub. You're like, I guess these women did a really good job cleaning up.
Including themselves.
I know, right? While they're like strange. In horrible pain and trailing their own intestines.
Yeah.
She shows them the least helpful sketch in the history of Criminal Minds.
I really would like to see just a collage of all the Criminal Minds sketches. Like, it seems so simple to me to hire someone who can make a decent sketch.
I mean, and it's not even just a vague sketch. Right, it's a bad sketch.
Right. Right.
Like, and it's a vague description, like a bad drawing based on a vague description.
And it looks like it was drawn with, like, a marker, like a child's marker, not even a fine point
Sharpie. Yeah, just a Crayola.
Yeah, it's not.
One of those fat ones.
It's just bad.
Yeah. We've never seen a good sketch ever in the show. Apparently, he also wears a dumb hat to draw attention to himself, which is called peacocking, Reed tells us.
What a term.
Which is a term that I am familiar with only because of Tom Haverford from Parks and Rec. But I assume that Reed knows this because he's read The Game by Neil Strauss. Did you? I told you about that podcast, that If Books Could Kill One.
Yeah.
They did an episode on the game a couple of weeks ago, which is one of the reasons I was so excited to talk about that. It is so funny.
Like, I have to listen to that one. I started back with like longer ago episodes.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet.
Yeah, it's great. There's one part where they're talking about the bag of props that they recommend that you bring along to pick up girls. And one of them is a bag of runes.
Runes.
For rune readings.
Yes. I mean, I know a lot of women who are really into runes.
Yeah.
And fedoras.
Yeah. And like a black light so you can point out lint on someone's clothes.
Oh my God.
And there's one point where one of the hosts is like, I feel like any part of you that would be like prone to successfully being negged would be overpowered by the part of you that's like, why the fuck do you have this bag of shit?
Is it like a stick and bindle like a hobo carries? That's what I'm imagining.
That's what I think, I assume. Because there's a lot of stuff that they carry around. I don't know.
Let me undo my knotted handkerchief and pull out a few fancy things to impress you with.
I highly recommend that episode. It's so funny. Yeah, so strangely, apparently Vanessa's family has completely stopped cooperating with the investigation. I don't really know why. I guess Garcia finds like a lot of shitty comments about the family on the internet. And you're like, don't read the comment section.
Yeah.
Never, ever read that. In order to persuade her, Jordan explains that she lost her older sister and then her mother refused to cooperate with the police and asks her not to do the same thing.
But the delivery of this is not in the least bit convincing, Jordan.
Like, no.
It sounds like somebody who's making something up off the top of their head while they're still talking.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand why anyone buys it, but they do.
She does. And then Hotch tells Morgan that Jordan is actually an only child.
And when Jordan is telling this bullshit story, Hotch looks pissed.
Oh, he's so mad.
He's fuming.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like, oh my God, did Jordan like get good at her job for one episode? Yeah. Because like whatever she did totally works. And then they're cooperating again.
Mm-hmm.
So Hotch and Morgan talk to Ashley, who's Vanessa's younger sister, who tells them that the unsub was flirty, joking, had lots of attitude and confidence. And he does like all of the things from that pickup artist book.
Wasn't there a reality show of that on like VH1?
Sure was. Yeah. But, based on that guy.
Yeah.
His name was Mystery. Yeah.
Oh boy. I got to look him up. What's he doing these days?
I don't know. Probably in an institution. So Hotch reams Jordan out about lying, which is something the FBI never does. Not ever. Not one time.
Yes. They've never told lies.
But yeah, it's like, how would this woman ever find out whether or not Jordan had a sister? Like if she is dumb enough to buy that story, which was very poorly delivered.
Yeah.
You think she's going to go Google her?
Yeah.
There's no way
Jordan
this is coming back on them.
Jordan would have to mess up even worse and be like, if somebody mentioned her sister, and her be like, what? Who?
What sister?
Yeah.
There's no way. It's just, he's so mad for no reason.
Yeah. He just wants to be mad at her because he doesn't like her. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. And it's like the entire climax of the last episode was based on a ruse to let the unsub that believe that his plan had worked and he won.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's different when you lie to the unsub, Emily. You can't lie to the victim's family.
True. But yeah, it's like, Hotch would be such an exhausting person to work for.
Yeah. You could never keep him happy. It's like always something different.
Yeah. It reminded me of like when like in the Jonestown book where they talk about Jim Jones would have these like, he would call it situational ethics where like he would just come up with, well, this isn't wrong because, but this is wrong. And like you could never keep up with what you were and weren't allowed to do. And it was all based on like his whims.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is how Hotch runs the entire team.
100% Hotch.
Yeah. I'm like, you're not like a beacon of integrity. You just do whatever you want and yell at people when they do what you wouldn't have done.
Mm-hmm. It's so weird that his marriage failed.
I know. Yeah, but the team thinks that the unsub's murder of Vanessa was his way of climbing the social ladder.
What social ladder? The social ladder of unsubs? Of sadistic serial killers?
Yeah, the high society of unsubs. You get into the secret club.
What ladder is he climbing?
Yeah. Morgan says it would be impossible to change that much in a year because they're still assuming for no reason that this guy used to be a huge loser. Reed says that being a pickup artist is basically just profiling. I'm like, why are you constantly comparing the work that you do with the bad habits of
other
just the lowest
bullshit.
Echelon mm-hmm. of humanity?
Yeah.
They're like, you know, serial killers are the best profiles or profilers. Second or, you know, seconded only by pickup artists. They're looking through this newspaper where the two other victims had advertised their services, and Rossi happens to find a pickup artist class ad.
Did you pause it and write it all down? Because I paused it and
I did
wrote
not.
It all down.
No,
it's
please.
So good.
Yes.
This ad says, learn how to pick up chicks.
Mm. Number one, don't call them chicks.
Let's face it. We all want to have sex, but women are a mystery. Take my class and learn how to unlock desire. Call 1-800-555-0044.
Wow.
This is an ad written by someone who's never seen a live human woman.
or a person.
Right. An alien wrote this ad. This is like an SNL skit or like a bit from Third Rock from the Sun. Like, mm-hmm. What's his name?
I can't remember anyone's name from that show.
No, I can't. Well, John Lithgow, but not him.
Yeah. French Stewart.
French Stewart. Yeah. It seems like something French Stewart's character would do on Third Rock from the Sun. Like, this is not a real ad in a newspaper.
Yeah.
Can you imagine working at the newspaper and getting this copy and being like, well, I guess they gave us their money.
I guess they paid for it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it looks like the unsub has found another victim.
Mm.
Yeah. At this point, I was pretty sure that I remembered what the unsub looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drew my own
sketch
of it, which I will post on Instagram.
Does it look just like the cartoon drawing of a human man that they put use
at
the beginning?
Listen, I feel like it's better, right?
It is way better.
Yeah.
It's so much better. I'm not surprised, though.
Yeah. I was like, all right, I think I remember who he is. Like, I remember what the actor looks like. I was like, how could nobody describe him?
Please post their sketch, your sketch,
and then the picture of the person.
Actor. Yeah. And we've talked about before, like, it's not hard for them to make a sketch that looks similar to the actual unsub because it's not like they had the prop person sketch the sketch or whatever before they hired someone.
Yeah.
This is not reality. You know what they look like.
Yeah, they can sit in front of you. You don't even have to go off of an eyewitness description.
Yeah,
do you think
bizarre.
That they just... to keep it real, had somebody briefly look at the actor that they cast and then had them describe them to the prop artist the prop person who was making the sketch?
Maybe. But even then,
because that's not a good way to work.
This is someone that's really bad at their job.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a lot to take in. We do get a good little like montage when they're like talking about the ad and everything of it's not the actual unsub, but a purported unsub.
Yeah.
The
idea of
it. Yeah. Getting himself ready, and he like puts a fedora on his head with two hands. It is just like an alien. It's like holding a fedora with two hands.
They're really heavy.
Sets it on his head, one in the front, one in the back. I was like, this is a modern dance. Like, this is performance art. This is amazing.
It's so
over the top.
The team is then investigating that next victim, who was not emboweled, but instead thrown out of an eighth-story window.
I mean, yes, put yourself out of your misery. I would have jumped,
yeah.
Right? This is too much. They say, though, when they're talking about this victim, that, and I hope I'm not skipping ahead of you, but that like the way he got her to go home with him or to take him home is that she must have liked his style. And I was like, one step too far, Criminal Minds writers. This is abhorrent. Like, I know the early 2000s were a different time, and people's attitudes towards women were much different even then, right?
Yeah.
25 years ago, almost. But having the writers say that this victim liked this man's style is just one step too far for me.
She's like, how did she get him to take it? Well, she was probably really drunk.
Right. Right.
I'm going to guess there was some questionable lack of consent going on. Like this, as there always is with those pickup artist guys.
This whole pickup artist movement was like never a thing that actually worked on women. It was just a scam of like dumb losers with the personality of a bologna sandwich who were misogynists, who preyed on drunk women who were like already in a bad place.
They bring up that in the podcast about the book, and they're like, these aren't ways to pick up women. These are ways to confuse 18-year-old girls who are really drunk in clubs.
Yes, and to get them to have sex with you. This isn't how you start a relationship or something.
Yeah, like
and
none of this is like
bizarre.
Something that works on normal people.
It just, I hate it all so much. Like, how dare you imply that this woman brought him home because she really liked his fedora and his close-up magic and whatever else bullshit he did.
There were a couple things in here where I was just like, this is not a good look for you writers. Yeah. They had the cleaning supplies laid out just like all the other kill sites, but he didn't follow his usual plan. Hotch thinks that maybe she must have fought back and he was forced to change the MO. So Reed thinks he sees a pattern. The unsub's peacocking accessories are always placed to obscure the area around his eyes. You're like, oh, you mean the most distinguishable part of a person's face usually is their eye? Okay. So he thinks that there must be a birthmark or a scar in that area. So they do a press release with the absolutely indiscernible as a specific human being sketch. But it's okay because a waitress recognizes him.
Yes.
Because they added a tiny line above his eye. And that is like, oh my God, it went from being not even a sketch of an actual human to I know exactly who that man is.
Would you not be embarrassed to like stand up in front of the press and hold up that sketch as part of your job?
Yeah. I would be like, I'm really sorry about this. Yeah.
Well, and they settle on the scar because they had Garcia use Photoshop, right? And she adds accessories to his face.
Yeah.
Like a fedora and sunglasses. And she's like, I didn't have much time. Don't make fun of my Photoshop skills. And I was like, you did this in MS Paint.
I know. Like, you didn't Photoshop that. You cut it out of a magazine and scotch taped it on.
And then you photocopied it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the fact that anyone could recognize this person is just impossible.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Prentice thinks that she has found the pickup artist that has taken on the unsub as his young Padawan. And his name is Viper.
The Viper.
Because of course it is.
Yeah.
Viper is playing the role of Mystery, the human nightmare of, who was the subject of the game and subsequent host of The Pickup Artist on VH1.
He is dressed as if Johnny Depp was dressed as Jack Sparrow, dressed as a futuristic, like, steampunker or something.
Yeah, it's like if Jack Sparrow was wearing Will Smith's clothes from Wild Wild West.
Yes, yes. It's like a purple velour coat. And at one point, he puts on a giant fuzzy hat, Jamiroquai.
The fuzzy hat. That's what the guy from The Pickup Artist used to wear. Oh, my God. He needed a big fuzzy hat like that.
A pimp cane and platform shoes or something.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It was just too much. I had to pause and laugh aloud. I had to pause to laugh because I was afraid I was going to laugh so loudly and so long that I would miss an important part of the plot.
I feel like this was the point and let's see. Yeah, because that's like two full pages of notes. And I think that's when I texted you and it was like, I already have two pages of notes and I'm only like 12 and a half minutes.
Yes, I was just going to say, I'm already at the end of my second page of notes and we're only 20 minutes into this episode.
Yeah. He is lecturing a bunch of sad men on how to trick women into not noticing that they're sad men. Mm-hmm. He keeps using all of these predator and prey analogies in his speech. And Morgan's like, he's training serial killers. And you're like, no, he's not. He is training losers.
He's training misogynists to never get a date in their lives.
Like most of these men will never get close enough to a woman to serial kill them. Yeah. So it's okay. But yeah, they're not going to be serial killers. They're just going to keep being sad. Mm-hmm. It's like, and just find another hobby. Literally right? any hobby mm-hmm. will make you more interesting yeah. to some person
yes.
out there.
I saw the best TikTok the other day, and it was like this big, muscly meathead guy being like, it's a lie that people say women are into dad bods. They only say that. People only say that to make themselves feel better because they're not jacked. And somebody stitched it and was like, sir, you have the personality of a wet paper towel. You just have convinced yourselves that women don't like you, or that women can't like people not like you because all you do is spend all your time at the gym. But even you, with no personality, who goes to the gym all the time, there's someone out there for you. You're just terrible.
Yeah.
And you haven't found them yet.
But yeah, I mean, like, get the weirdest hobby ever.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
we do this.
I know. Right? Like, there's, like, anything that you are interested and passionate about is going yeah. to make you interesting to someone.
Yeah.
This makes you interesting to no one.
Right, right. Like, yeah.
I don't. I just did not understand any of this whole part of the cultural zeitgeist when it existed.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so anyway, they go talk to Viper, who tries to work his magic on Prentice. Mm-hmm. And it does not work.
No, it does not. the look on Hotch's face the whole time they're talking to Viper is just great.
Yeah.
It's great.
They ask him for his client list, and he's like, my clients expect a certain amount of discretion. Yes. And it was like, your clients live in their mom's basements. Like, chill out.
He's like, I can't violate the sanctity of my classes for your measly murders. No one can know.
Like, listen, any one of your clients would be thrilled to sit down with Prentice and yes. discuss this potential murder because true. They would actually get to talk to a woman. Viper also tries to insult Morgan by insinuating that he has to rely on his badge to get girls. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, no, he uses his charm and a smile and his muscles, probably some of those home improvement skills
yeah.
that he has, maybe even his lower back tattoo. I don't know. Anything.
Look, there are a lot of things I make fun of Morgan for, but he can pull a certain type of lady.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to do anything special.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Like, and I'm sure, like, once he drops, I mean, and we see it later, once he drops the, like, Playboy facade, mm-hmm. he's a genuinely nice person.
Yes, yes.
And he does find someone who mm-hmm. is lovely, and yes. they're very happy together. And mm-hmm. it's like, he can get whoever he wants.
Yeah.
He's yep. not hurting for opportunities to meet women.
Viper has obviously never had sex with anyone.
Oh, no, no.
Maybe someone who is really shit-faced, but that's it.
Yeah. Nobody likes sentient.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... yeah, it's like, I take Morgan home because he could help me fix the leak in my gutter.
Right.
Like, as long as he didn't talk to me and call me baby girl. But yeah, he is going like super hard at Prentice, who just laughs at him because mm-hmm. it's silly. Hotch calls Garcia to get Viper's records. And I think the funniest part about this is that the assumption that he keeps them digitally.
Oh,
like
yeah.
you are telling me that that man doesn't have a leather-bound ledger that he writes in with a fountain pen. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. He's not.
It has a feather.
He doesn't
on
have
end.
An Excel spreadsheet. Yeah.
I just love that when they open this conversation, Hotch is like spilling the tea to Garcia about Viper trying to hit on Prentice and how badly it went.
Yeah.
Like, I would give Hotch, like, a half a point for that.
Yeah. But, yeah, we also learned that Viper's real name is Paul because, of course, it's Paul.
Of course, it's Paul.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, they could not have picked a better name.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. It's such just, a Paul.
Yeah. But Garcia wants to know whether all of this pickup stuff really works on women. She's like, I just abhor the whole girls dig jerks thing. And Hotch is like, well, Garcia, you're the exception. And I'm like,
I'm telling writers.
I think that the scene is supposed to be cute because mm-hmm. Garcia is really flattered by this, but it makes Garcia come off as a pick me girl. And mm-hmm. it makes Hotch seem mm-hmm. like he has a very low general of opinion, like a low opinion of women in general.
He does.
And like, it's like, yeah, like, Hotch, your wife didn't enjoy you treating her like shit. Mm-hmm. You were a jerk to her.
Right. That's a you problem, not a her problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, that has nothing to do. Like, she's a woman who didn't enjoy being treated poorly, and now you're divorced.
Right.
And it's your fault.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah. Uh-huh. This is another point against the writers.
And, like, the assumption also is that the pickup artist stuff does work on women. No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Do you think that this episode was written by like three men who took the games or mysteries, whatever his name is?
His course? Classes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did not look up who the writers were. Mm.
If you told me it was, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
I see it.
It does seem like it was written by a bunch of dudes.
Mm-hmm. Who are like, why don't women like me?
Yeah. But yeah, I didn't like that scene.
No.
It really bothered me.
No.
So yeah, Rossi brings Melissa Foster into the station, who's the waitress who knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa says that she used to be a sex worker whom the unsub had once hired, and she's the one that gave him the scar. So she sits down to tell him the story, but Rossi keeps like interrupting yes! to I tell it for her. Too. And she's like, so when I got to the room, Rossi's like, he was acting cagey. He was pacing. He was like not acting normal. Yes, like, he seemed anxious. And she's like, yeah. Let me tell it.
Let me get a word in. Yes. They're like determined to show off how much they already know about what happened to her before she can say it.
Yeah. I'm like, if you tell it for her, she's not going to tell you the whole story. And then she's going to leave out details that she's not going to think. To tell because you kept interrupting her.
They sit down and she's like, yeah, I was in bad shape a year ago. And he's like, heroin. I'm like, whoa,
chill out.
Please don't just start accusing her of being a heroin addict. Let her tell you what happened to her.
But yeah, she says that he referred to her as the help and kept pacing and ranting. He pulled a knife on her and she fought him up and sliced his face, giving him the scar. And Rossi's like, but it wasn't the pain that bothered him. It was the mess. She's like, yeah.
Okay. Sure. That could have been it.
But yeah, she also says that the attack probably saved her life because she probably would have OD'd if it wouldn't have happened.
But she says that he saved her life. I'm like, don't give this white man your credit.
No, he attacked you and then...
And you changed your life. Yeah.
You took the steps.
Yes.
He didn't do anything good for you.
No.
But yeah, then we get our profile.
Ooh, and is it a profile?
It sure is.
This is a long one. It also had been a while since we had this, like, all of us on the stage, shoulder to shoulder, like we're...
That's, yeah, I was...
We're going to perform, like, in some kind of college showcase for
you. I was watching it, and Ron walked in, and he was like, what is going on? And I was telling him what you said about how their profiles are, like, watching the vagina monologues.
Yes. Yes, and that's what we were back to that. I was like, it's been a while.
Like, watch now. That one's going to say her line.
Yeah. They just go right down the line. So, our unsub is a confident alpha male. He is white. He's between the ages of 25 and 30. He is in excellent physical shape, so he can overpower women and also defeat his self-image. He has an obsession with cleaning. He probably works in some service industry, wiping up after others, convinced everyone looks down at him. His change in himself and his victimology reflects that. This is the kind of guy who wants to stand out in a crowd. He's taken a class in how to pick up women, so he'll repeat a series of well-rehearsed lines and mind games. He may be uneducated, but he's by no means stupid. And then I wrote in all caps, I disagree. Taking this class has given him the ability to read verbal cues in body language, which, again, would be like any normal human being having a conversation, interacting with someone else, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just so we're clear.
No, that's, they like, yeah.
They like go on and on about how he can read, he can see like verbal cues and he can read body language. Like, so can I.
Yeah.
And nobody had to give me a class about
everybody
how to
can.
Treat people like
they
crap.
Just make up dumb terminology for everything. Like, there was one part they were talking about in the book where they refer to like getting to like know a girl and like make her feel comfortable around you. They call it comfort building. And you're like, that's being a human person engaged in conversation. Like but they have to like make up all of these things to make it seem like they're doing something special.
Yeah.
But it's you're so just annoying. Teaching them how to talk.
Talk to any human. Any human. One classic routine the Viper promotes is called the push-pull. He'll insert himself between two women, and immediately after complimenting one, he'll deliver a subtle insult, then pay attention to the other. So Reed demonstrates this on Jordan for us.
I know. I like that. Yeah. He got to practice his negging skills.
Yeah. Those are really nice earrings. I like those. My grandmother wears a lot of fake jewelry also. It looks nice. And then you would ignore the woman and put that ignoring the woman puts her in direct competition with her friend, causing one to pursue you more aggressively. Which, if someone spoke to me like that, I would not be in competition with my friend. I'd be like, we gotta get the fuck away from this guy.
Also, right? Yeah, if somebody talked to my friend like that,
yeah,
I'd and be then pissed. Turned around and tried to be nice to me, and be like, ew. No, you are mean to my friend.
Yeah,
get out of here.
They've mapped the hot spots he hits, and he frequents the same clubs that the Viper does. So we're going to need eyes and ears in every single one. Circulate the sketch as widely as possible. We'll need everyone aware there's a killer out there.
Yeah. So Reed really does not want to go to the club.
I mean, me either.
But Morgan insists that he needs a wingman. Mm. They decided to also use Prentice as bait to profile Viper.
The three of them are getting so much joy out of the prospect of doing this to Prentice. Like, Reed cannot stop himself from smirking.
Yeah.
While they're doing this.
They're
it's
just
great.
Like giggling. Yes. Like doing the Mr. Burns finger thing. She correctly assumes that this experience is really going to suck. Mm-hmm. So she's getting ready and Hotch comes in to make sure that she's okay with this, first of all, which I was gonna like, wow.
Yeah.
And then he also tells her what Jordan did and Prentice is like, hey, back the fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that bad. Just back off. Mm-hmm. And he actually listens. I was impressed. So then Reed explains the profile and the predators, like just general predator red flags to mm-hmm. a bunch of girls in the club who all look really bored with him. Uh-huh. And I was just having a hard time imagining a situation where a relatively attractive man in a bar would come up to me and be like, I investigate murders. And I would be like, no, thank you. I'm not interested in talking to you any further.
Like, this is weird. You're freaking me out. Yeah,
yeah. You're like, so what do you do for a living? And you'd be like, I investigate serial killers. And I'm like, get this man several drinks on me. Tell me everything. So Morgan checks in with him and Reed asks Morgan how many phone numbers he's gotten. Mm. And Morgan said he was offered four, but he didn't take any of them. And Reed says
he's working.
Yeah. Reed says that he gave the profile to one girl who asked him if he was the unsub. I was like, no, they said that the unsub was a confident man.
But seriously, clubs are a cesspool, and if you've ever been to one, you're really lucky you got out of it alive.
Yeah. Morgan asks or wants to give him some advice about talking to girls and asks Reed what topics make him feel like an expert. Mm. And Reed says, statistics. And Morgan is like, no. And then he's like, I also like to do magic. And you're like, was like the one time they were contractually obligated to write his magician skills into the, but yeah, Morgan's like, yes, chicks love magic. And we're like, no, they don't. Close-up magic is not the safe bet you're imagining it might be, Morgan. It's real creepy. But Reed goes over and he shows the sketch to a pretty bartender who is luckily extremely impressed by mm-hmm. magic. But like, even without the magic, he has a totally normal interaction with her. Like,
yeah.
He's fine.
He doesn't need
like,
the magic.
You don't need help. You don't need the magic.
Stop trying so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. She looks so familiar too. And she's one of those people who's been in like everything a little bit, but she was on an episode of How I Met Your Mother. She was one of Ted's really bad dates. And I was like, oh, that's why you look familiar.
Yeah. She did look really familiar. So Prentice confronts Viper about all of his stupid pickup artist bullshit. He says that it's a game and he's really good at it. Be like, no, you're just gross. Mm-hmm. So then Jordan shows up to insult him, and Viper seems really put off by two attractive, smart, confident women. You're like, yeah, your weird tactics aren't going to work. Yeah.
When he first comes over to Prentice, he puts like his whole finger in his mouth. Did you notice that? He does like,
yeah.
I was like,
no, thank you.
Goodbye.
Back at the station, Rossi and Hotch have apparently declined to join the others at the club, which is probably for the best. Mm-hmm. I really wish that we could have seen how badly the two of them would stick out at a club like, for the youth.
Hey, look, there's two FBI agents over there.
Think those guys are cops? Hotch is like, I wonder if we've missed something. You're like, well, you haven't caught the unsub yet, so yes.
So you'd missed everything so far.
And Rossi reminds him that there has to have been a secondary trigger. You're like, okay. He says that the unsub never takes the girls back to his own place. So there must be something at home that's reminding him what a terrible life he has, like a crying baby or something. It's like, okay, maybe it's just easier to kill somebody in their own house and then leave.
Right. Like you if have, you take them to your house, up.
You have a body to take care of.
Yeah. Like, I know. Just, Rossi's really hung up on the secondary trigger thing.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like the whole, like, he must have been a loser thing. Like, they make that one assumption and yeah. then they just, like, obsess over it. And you're like, that's meaningless.
They're like, they're trying too hard to explain away things that don't really need to be explained.
No.
Normally, they don't care about explaining anything. And in this one, it's like, no, we don't need to know
like,
about
we
that.
We have to give them a reason. Yeah. And you're like, no, I didn't need no, a reason for that. I wasn't yeah. asking. But yeah, anyway, Viper is back at the club. He's still really boring the ladies with all of his nonsense. Mm-hmm. He seems exhausting.
Yeah.
He says that he made the unsub what he is. And then the apprentice and Jordan remind him that none of his tricks are working, whereas the unsub actually managed to get women to take him home with them.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, one. You know of one woman.
Yeah.
Or I guess two. Two. There were two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like the other victims were people that he paid. So yeah. That's how he got them.
Yeah, like, it's true. But I mean, two times is two more times than we know it's worked for Viper.
That's true. But yeah, and Viper gets mad and he tells them that they're queen bees. Who are apparently confident women who make men feel inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he teaches his students to confront their queen bee and put them in their place.
So it's like he had a personal connection to one of these victims.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, there's your secondary trigger mm-hmm. right there. But yeah, they go back to the family, ask if there was anyone that Vanessa had rejected or had an embarrassing encounter with. And then her mom is like, oh, right.
Oh, my God. I hated this so much. First of all, the mom is such a bad actress. And she does like the and brings her hands to her mouth in shock thing. And it's so terrible. Then she said they've had so many paid help in and out of their home that she can't remember the names of all of them.
Yeah.
And then she calls them her domestics. Yes. And I was like, kill this whole family now.
Like, that's why everybody was mean to you on the internet.
Yes.
Just because of the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then she says they were all paid in cash, but that she got them through an agency.
Yeah.
And I'm like, usually the point of going through an agency is that then you have people on the books.
Right. It's bizarre.
Yeah. But anyway, she remembers this one housekeeper that they had who would bring her weird son along.
Mm-hmm.
The mom once caught him in the bathroom with Vanessa in their underwear, and then she spanked him.
This flashback. I'm sorry.
It's
too much. There's too much. I can't.
They're just both. Because how old do they look?
They look like 10, 11, like 10? 12.
Yeah, they look like 10-year-old kids, and they're both, like, in their underwear. And then, like, she's, like, spanking him, and then it goes to Vanessa, and she's, like, smiling.
And, like, enjoying seeing
like, she's
me?
Enjoying it.
I don't know. And
I'm like, are you blaming her?
How do you have so many cleaning people in and out of your house that you can't remember the name of the woman whose son you assaulted, right? Because you don't spank other people's kids. That's crazy.
Well, and that was, like, she's, the sister is, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, even the younger sister is like, mother, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
She's like, no, don't act like that. This boy said had no sense of boundaries. And you're like, you mean like physically assaulting someone else's child?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I was like, I didn't remember that part of this episode.
Yeah. I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, you don't hit somebody else's kid.
Yeah.
Don't hit your own kids, but
right.
really don't,
but
hit,
really
somebody
don't
else's
hit someone
kid.
Else's kid.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the sister remembers that the boy's name was Bobby and that Vanessa said he was a pervert. And the mom can't remember the housekeeper's name at all, but she does know what service they went through, so they can look through there. So back at the club, that pretty bartender is minding her own business while Bobby, the unsub, flirts with a blonde girl via palmistry. He must have forgotten his runes, I assume, so he had to go with the palm reading. The bartender recognizes him from the sketch. No, she did not.
No, she did not. No.
But she goes over and accidentally pours a drink all over the girl and then offers her some club soda to help clean it up and takes her into the storage room. It was like, very smart.
Women looking after women. Yes. I get on board. Hero bartender.
But then instead of calling Reed, whose phone number she has from the bar phone, which I assume you would have one right. behind the bar somewhere yeah. that you could discreetly make a phone call. Mm-hmm. She goes out back in the alley, with her cell phone. I'm like, oh, you were just, like a poor move. Just complimenting your intelligence.
Like you're suspecting there's a serial killer in your presence. And you're like, let me sneak off alone where no one knows where I am.
Yeah. And like the look that he's giving her when she's leading the girl away, like he knows that she knows and she sees him looking at her like that. Like this is bad news.
Yeah.
All around.
Yeah. This is very bad news.
Morgan and Reed go looking for her and they find her phone thrown into a planter.
Yeah.
Prentice and Jordan get to have some bonding time where they're just nice to each other for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Garcia has found Viper's records and finds out where Bobby lives. And he's got the bartender back at his house,
mm-hmm.
Who it doesn't appear that he's disemboweled yet. He's just yelling at her to scrub the floor.
Yeah.
He's like, you made a mess. Clean it up.
You start with the cleaning and then you disembowel them and have them clean more. I don't know. It's weird too, how quickly Garcia looks up. Like she's like, there are 23 Roberts in his records. And then she finds their birth certificates. This is all under Hotch's directions. He's like, find their birth certificates, look up the mother's names, check the mother's employment records. And she does all of this in like 30 seconds and she's like, found him,
the one Robert.
Yes. Okay, sure.
Yeah. But he's just like screaming at her, making her scrub the carpet. Mm-hmm. He pulls out the knife and just then Morgan kicks in the door and then tackles him through a beaded curtain.
So I wrote down about the beaded curtain too.
I was like, this is a contender for our best Morgan tackle already. Yes. It was fabulous.
He falls right through that boss beaded curtain.
Yes. Oh, I was like, everything in this episode is so of its time.
Mm-hmm.
So then Rossi and Morgan hear a woman crying for help. And behind the door, they find Robert's mother hooked up to a dialysis machine. And she's asking for Robert because she needs to be changed. And they're like, there's your secondary trigger. You're like, no, okay. Like the first trigger was that he wanted to start killing people because he was like upset about being the help. And then the second trigger was seeing Vanessa again.
Yeah. Or did he search out Vanessa on purpose? Was Vanessa the original trigger?
I don't know, but nobody needed this other trigger.
No, the sick mom, and she has dialysis. She's hooked up to a dialysis machine, and
yeah,
she has a dirty diaper, and that's supposed to be the gross thing that...
I have no idea. I was like, nobody needed this.
There's so many threads. Why are we pulling on all these threads?
It's like they just needed to give Rossi and Morgan, Rossi and Hodge something to do.
I guess, yeah.
But then we get our second quote. PGA O'Rourke said, cleanliness becomes more important when godliness is unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then Hotch apologizes to Jordan for being a giant asshole to her.
Yes.
Yeah. He acknowledges that she was totally right about the change in victimology being due to the unsub having a personal connection to Vanessa, which they had all dismissed. Reed talks to the bartender on the phone who says that she's quitting bartendering. She's quitting bartenderology to become a professional magician.
Mm.
And she says, did you get the package yet? And he's like, oh, I did. I just hadn't opened it because we weren't on the phone yet. But he opens this package and she had sent him back his card with a lipstick kiss on the back.
Yeah. She says, is this your card?
Yeah. It's like Rita's really good at picking up random women in far-flung cities.
Yeah. Do we ever see her again?
I don't think so.
Right? Yeah, this is it.
Nah.
Reed probably gets a lot more action than than even Morgan does. And
I know, he's just really quiet about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, well, there's that. So we've got a white man. Shall I start with the statistics?
Sure do. Yeah, yeah.
So we are now 50-50, 4-4. In season 4.
Yeah.
50% white men. Overall, we have 68 white men to 14 not, so around 83%. Pretty standard. I feel like we've hovered around 80% this whole time.
Yeah.
How would you rate this profile as far as accuracy, helpfulness, and plausibility on a scale of 1 to 10?
I mean, they are just describing a pickup artist.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems perfectly plausible that they would have been able to get that information.
Yeah.
And it was definitely helpful, especially they're like, he was obsessed with cleanliness. And you're like, yeah, obviously, because he made them like
Yeah.
But I guess connecting that to like being in the service industry or having a connection to the service industry, like that's how they caught or figured out who it was.
Yeah. This is one of their better profiles, yeah. I will say.
Because there was so much of it.
Yeah. They just kept talking. And when you talk that much, you're bound to get some things right.
Yeah.
I would probably give it like a 7 maybe.
Yeah. Definitely higher end.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
Then what about for Hotch Watch? He was at an 8.5. I think he deserves a bump up.
I do too.
Like he listens to Prentice, he takes the note and he makes a change. He apologizes for a specific thing that he's done, which is difficult. Many people don't do that.
Yeah.
He, when he talks to Garcia, he's like, you won't believe this thing that happened with Prentice, which is.
Yeah. Cause that was like not a conversation that needed to be had, yeah. But he just wanted to like connect on a personal level with the team.
So he was at an 8.5. Would you bump him to a 9, 9.5?
I'd say put him to a 9.
Yeah? Put him back to a 9? All right.
Because he had to apologize because he was a dick in the first place.
That's true. We can't give him too much credit. Overall, it's a good episode.
It was. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
The next one is Brothers in Arms.
No.
Don't remember it.
No.
Looking forward to it, though, because I'm hoping I'll remember it again.
The problem with this one is that it's like somebody's like targeting police officers or whatever. And I feel like anytime we have to deal with a lot of the local police, it gets exhausting.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't remember this one, but I'm hoping it's not one of the ones where
it's just a mess.
Yeah. I hate the ones where it's like a turf war between the local cops and the BAU. Cause it's just like, this is exhausting. Just let somebody help you so that you can solve this murder. Like it's about solving a murder, not, you know, bragging rights.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
But we'll find out, yeah.
Wherever you're listening, be sure to leave us a 5-star review. You can find us on Instagram at The Unsub is a White Man. You can find our merch on Redbubble if you buy any. Make sure you tag us and we'll post it to our Instagram stories. Our theme music is composed and performed by Nate Youngblood, and the podcast is produced by Nate Youngblood. Thanks, Nate.
And until next week, we'll be practicing our peacocking.